Okay. The time is 5:45, and I would like to call to order the Northtown Municipal Utility District Board of Directors meeting. At this time, I'll go ahead and take roll. Carter,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with you. Are you here?
Yeah, sorry, here. you're going to start with the board directors.
I'm sorry, I normally do. I don't know why I didn't. Felix, Director Amaro?
Present.
Director Capers?
Here.
Director Hill?
Over here.
Director Campbell?
Here.
Okay. Let's see. Scott Foster?
I'm here.
Okay. Cheryl Allen?
I'm here.
Okay. Is Carol Palumbo with us this evening? I don't think she needs to be. I was just checking.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know what about. Is Jamar Prince or Clayton Chandler, either one of those? Okay. Robert Anderson?
I'm here.
Okay. Mona Oliver?
Here.
Okay. Alan Douthit?
Here.
And Richard Fadal?
Present.
And Oscar Gonzalez, Deputy Gonzalez, I'm sorry.
Here.
Okay. And just as a friendly reminder, if there's any other noises or anything you have going on in the background, if you could please, if possible, mute your phones to avoid any other background noises while we're recording, and just for the sake of anybody else. And do we have any residents or guests with us on the call?
Here.
And who is that? Please.
My name's Brent Pato over in Hatch.
Okay, and Brent, can you spell your last name for me, please? I'm sorry. And my name's Brenda Richter, by the way. I'm the president of the board, and I apologize for not introducing myself.
Oh, no, not at all. My last name is spelled P Peter H Henry E T O.
Great, thank you so much. And are you a resident, or what is your affiliation?
I am a resident. Oh, I'm a resident. This is my first meeting.
Okay, well, great. Well, so happy to have you with us, especially under these situations. So thank you so much for joining the board or joining the meeting. And there is a specific actually, now is a good time. Do you have anything that you wanted to address the board with at this time?
I do not. I just wanted to listen in and see what's up.
Okay, great. If at any point in time, normally during a board meeting, there isn't a lot of interaction with the residents, but if there is at any point in time something that you do have a specific question on, just go ahead and just let me know. Just say, excuse me, or something just to get my attention, because the board meeting does move at a pace. So if you could just let me know that you have a question, and we can go ahead and we'll stop and we'll try to address what your questions or concerns are, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you again for joining us, Brent. We appreciate it. Okay. At this point in time, are there any board members who have any announcements that they need to make? Okay, and Lee, are there any residents that are out there at the district's office?
No residents at the district office.
Okay, and thank you very much again, Lee, for doing what you're doing. We appreciate that. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take up item number 2, which is the budget and tax items on the agenda. So, Cheryl, is that you?
I think I can get started. The process here is that we talked last month, and then we talk again this month. I'm sure that Alan and the Budget Committee have met. And so what we'll do is tonight is the designated public hearing. And so, Carter, if you want to open the public hearing or have the board open the public hearing, and then we can talk, but we have to talk about the budget and approve it before we can set the tax rate.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. So, Brenda, yeah, we'll just open the public hearing and have Cheryl give a recap on what she's recommending with respect to the tax rate. And then any member of the public who would like to speak up during the public hearing on the proposed tax rate may do so. And we'll close the public hearing, move on to the budget.
Okay. So at this time, I'll open up the public hearing for the tax rate.
Okay. So for some reason, I got the agenda, but I didn't get a meeting packet. So if I misspeak here, at the last meeting, you guys directed us to publish a tax amount, which Carter and his office have done. And so if I look at this, Carter, do you have that?
I believe that the total tax rate was the same, but there's going to be a difference in the allocation between debt service and maintenance and operation. I think the total tax rate was going to remain the same, proposed at 0.625, and the other was going to, or the debt service was going to be 0.2475. The maintenance and operation portion is going to be 0.3775.
Okay.
That was what was proposed.
And so that is still where we are, and the total tax rate is the one that we are recommending that you levy.
Okay. Does the Budget Committee or Finance Committee have anything that they would like to comment on or discuss with the board?
This is Alan. I'd just like to report that last Wednesday, the budget subcommittee, consisting of Felix and Robin, as well as Mona and myself, met to go over the budget. I had handed out a proposed budget at your meeting last month. Any changes out of that meeting last week was superficial, really. There was no change to the bottom line. We made a switch between two accounts, less than a couple thousand dollars. So there was really nothing that changed from what we presented at the meeting last month. Just a quick recap of the the tax part. There was about $814 million of value of that 62.5 cents that Carter mentioned of the total tax rate. 37.75 cents would be into the operating fund. That would generate just over $3 million of tax revenue to the budget for the year. The budget also includes an additional 24 new connections, which I think will finish out the building in that last development. And other than the normal utility costs and everything else that we usually, and park costs that we incorporate into the budget, we do have a large item out there this next year for 50% of the Settlers Meadow Park, as well as the admin building, totaling about $2.7 million. And then the Wildflower Park Pavilion improvements, which is in here at 70% of the total construction cost of $630,000. So all of this was really in the budget last month, and we didn't really see a need to change anything what was presented last month. So I don't know if I missed anything. Finance Committee, please stop me if I did.
No, I don't think so. The one superficial change that we mentioned was largely just to accommodate a small increase. We now have, as you guys know, we have a fairly regular cadence of fence repair within the district. Only now we have new fencing and new materials that go along with that. And so it just represented making sure that we were able to compensate for the normal number of repairs, but if they happen to be on the newer wrought iron fencing, if that were to happen. So I think otherwise, to his point, we left everything fairly much as you saw it last month.
Yeah, I concur. Primarily the difference was moving the trail maintenance, more of that into the fence repair, because that's where more damage seems to have been sustained regularly. And that's the only change I can really remember that was of any note.
Yeah, and thank you for pointing that out. For those of you that remember, in times past, we had a little bit larger trail maintenance budget before much of the trail was converted to concrete. So it just seemed to make sense just to place the emphasis on the fencing over the trail maintenance for now. And it's nominal. If something does happen, we can cover it, certainly. But that's just for your awareness that it was more just moving where we might apply those over a yearly basis.
Okay. Is there anything else that any of y'all need to bring up related to either the budget or the proposed tax rate?
I'd like to say that I'm happy with the budget and the work. Thank y'all for the work on the budget. And
thank you, Dave.
I really appreciate the recommendation to keep the tax rate the same. This moves well with the appraisal district not doing an appraisal this last year. So we have a need. Next year, we need to be very cognizant of what they do because home values have been going up rapidly in the mud. I'm seeing houses in my neighborhood selling for $60,000 more than mine is currently appraised for. So we're going to need to watch this very closely next year. This year is kind of a pass. Keep it the same and that. But next year we need to be very cognizant of what the values are to make sure that we aren't bringing in too much revenue from our residents due to rapidly rising valuations.
Yeah, that's an excellent call, and we will definitely keep that at the forefront of our conversations as we move along this year.
Okay, having said that, do I have a motion to approve the budget?
I'll move so. This is Lee.
Okay. I have a motion from Director Lee, from Director Hill. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Robin.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, all those
in favor. Brenda, I just want to make sure and be careful for the record here that we did open and close the public hearing.
Okay, I'm sorry. And so, yes, I guess I do need to – I'm sorry. I'll then go ahead and close the public hearing, and then I then took the record – took the vote for the adopting the budget. Sorry about that. So, yes, I did close the hearing, obviously. It was obvious for everybody, I'm sure.
I heard you. I heard you.
Yes. It was – yes. Thank you, Cheryl.
It was implicit there.
There you go. Thank you. So no one opposed the budget. So now we need to do a record vote for the adoption of the tax rate. So do I have a motion to adopt the tax rate?
Director,
I move that we keep the
I was going to say I will. I'll motion that, and as Director Hill was saying, that we're motioning to keep the rate as was applied in the last meeting.
Okay, so I have the Director Amaro motioning it, and then Director Hill
and
seconding it. Do I have all those in favor?
Aye.
I vote as well. So everybody has voted on record for keeping the tax rate the same. Okay, so then we need to amend and restate the information form and notice to purchaser. So that's not applicable, correct, Carter?
So the tax rate isn't changing, but we do need to amend it anyways because the amount of dollars that have been issued is changing, and so that amount will change in the information form.
Okay. So can I get a motion for approval on that?
Yes, I'll motion the approval for change on the amended and restated information form and notice to purchaser.
Okay. And a second, please?
I'll second.
Okay, Director that was Director Hill. Director Hill second and Director Campbell motioned. All those in favor?
Yes. Aye.
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 Okay. No one is opposed. Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you guys very much for the budget and tax items. So moving on to the bond items, Cheryl?
Hi there. Okay, so the City of Austin told us that they would have both items, the refunding bond issues as well as the new money bond issue, on the agenda for this past week, or for this week, actually. And naturally, the agenda came out on Monday, and we were not on it. So after a rather terse conversation, they have agreed that it will be the first week in October. So I will get back to each of you to let you know dates. What we'd like to do, depending on where the market is to get the new money bonds issued first and then do the refunding bonds, if that's possible. But as you all know, as we get closer to the election, rates in the past historically have gone up. And so we just need to see what happens in the marketplace. And sometimes that will happen for a day, and then the next day it goes back to normal. So we'll just have to watch it closely as we get closer to the election there. But everything is done. I sent to Robin and to Felix today the G17 letter from the underwriter, Huntington Securities. They reviewed it and acknowledged receipt and reviewed it and sent back an email to me. So we are set. The documents have been sent around to all of the consultants, and so we will be ready to go when the City of Austin says yes.
Okay. So I guess that's applicable to both 3 and 4 then, correct?
Correct.
Both bond?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, then there you have it.
How many times have we been through this with the city? But some things never change.
Okay. Well, thank you for all of your work on it, though, and I guess we'll hear from you when we hear from you on it then.
Well, I'm still hoping to get them done before the, you know, third week in October. I'm hoping
okay.
that once the council meets again and approves it, that we'll just jump right into the market on that.
Okay. Okay. Well, then hopefully we'll see you next month then.
Yes.
Cheryl, do you think we'll be expecting to sell the bonds at the district's October 27th, 2020 meeting with, I don't know why I said the year, at noon?
Yes. And, well, I want to keep it that way for the time being. And if I
okay.
see that things are changing, I will call you and you know, I'll stick close to you to let you know what's happening. But that is the plan at the moment, yes.
Okay. All right. So I guess you just need to make the board aware that that meeting would be at noon if everyone is okay with that, unless Cheryl comes back and says that day won't work after all.
Well, we don't do the meeting at noon, though. We'll do it just like we did this one, right, where the sale happens at noon, but we still have our meeting in the afternoon.
Is that right, Cheryl? Am I getting them confused?
For the new money bonds, Brenda, we will do it at noon. If you have it after 2 to 2:30 in the afternoon, the bond sale, the underwriters are going to immediately include additional interest costs just in case the rates go up overnight. So we will do the new money competitive sale at noon. So, yes, you would have a meeting at noon, and it'll be really quick. And then you can have – I think what y'all had discussed, and Carter, correct me if I'm wrong, that y'all had discussed having a quick meeting at noon and then meeting the next day, was it? I'm not sure what day after that to do your regular meeting, but that's, you know.
So how would that work then? Because I guess it would be a phone meeting still then, correct?
Yes, yes.
So is the board okay with that?
I'm not. I mean, I will be teaching during that time. I don't see how that
Yeah, I didn't think we agreed to doing a noon meeting at the last meeting.
No, we did not agree to that.
Yeah.
Could we get a quorum for a meeting at noon, then an hour meeting at regular time after we
right.
approve?
Right, so I think the idea is that this noon meeting, we just need three members of the board to call in. The meeting would just be comprised of the bond item being sold, and then the regular items that would typically be in a meeting, we would have those at the meeting. I guess we could have two meetings that day, one just to sell the bonds, which would last, 10 minutes, Cheryl? And
yeah.
then a regular meeting at the regular scheduled time at 5:45. Does that sound reasonable?
Our regular board meeting is the following Tuesday.
Oh, it is.
Okay, so we'd have a special meeting at noon and then the regular meeting at the other time.
Yeah.
Okay,
and I would be
available at noon. I would not be available much later without prior notice.
Yeah, okay, and so what day are we talking about? Let's just be clear. So which day of the month for October? Since our board meeting is on the 27th.
It would be the 20th then.
Okay.
The bond sale would be on the 20th. Your regular meeting is the 27th, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So I could probably, let me check real quick. I'm just going into my calendar. Oops.
I can do it as well. So, Brenda, since I'm also one of the signers with Robin.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I think the quorum on the 20th isn't a problem then, so we should be able to do this then.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we're good then. So for the record, we can do a quorum of October 20th at noon, and then on our regular meeting day, handle whatever we would normally do.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And just as a reminder, you know, this bond is intended to finance the Ferguson Force Main project, and we are scheduled to open bids, I guess it's that Wednesday prior to, so on the 14th of the month. So we'll at least know what the anticipated contract amount will be prior to the bond sale.
Okay. I think we're good now. Okay. Cheryl, thank you very much for all of your work on this and for clarification on this noon board meeting. I think everybody's on the same page now, finally.
Okay.
Thank you all so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Okay. Thank
Bye.
You, guys.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Bye-bye. Okay. Moving along to the consent agenda items, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda items 5 and 6?
I motion.
I move that we approve. I'll second. Yeah.
Okay, that was a motion from Director Campbell and a second from Director Hill. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, great. That was everyone in favor. No one opposed. Great. Thank you very much. Okay, moving along to the discussion items of the coronavirus COVID-19 from the committee.
The subcommittee met and decided that on September 18th at 5 o'clock we would reopen several of the amenities, kind of following suit with what City of Austin is doing. So by 5 o'clock last Friday, we opened the disc golf course, the adult fitness stations, the dog park, and the sand volleyball court. And remaining closed, we kept the pavilion, the children playgrounds, the drinking fountains, soccer fields, and restrooms closed. Currently, the dog park is closed due to rain, not due to COVID.
Okay. Yeah, I saw posts on Facebook about the dog park being opened and that there were stickers in the dog park now. Just FYI. Thank y'all for taking care of that. I thought that was great that we moved in sync with the City of Austin.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that y'all are needing from the board at this time since we've changed, that we've kept in sync and we've moved forward?
I think they just need to discuss, you all need to discuss your disconnection and late fees if you want to maintain that or change it.
Okay. What's the recommendation at this time? From the
So far, we haven't seen, and we can get an update
if it's more than we expect. But so far, this has been working well, maintaining the process that we have and then having the ability for the crossroads to be flexible, but to just kind of follow that normal protocol, make sure it's COVID related, make sure it's, you know, that we're making any adjustments that we're doing based on that. But it continues to be a fairly nominal thing and seems to be what most places are still reasonably offering as this goes on.
Okay. And Robert, are you seeing any issues or problems out of the ordinary or any spikes in requests?
Just a couple. I mean, you've got over 3,000 resident connections, and the percentage is super low. Do have 3 write-offs today, but there are people who have moved out of the district who didn't report any COVID issues. But other than that, I think you're probably still okay to keep going like you are. We have had several of our districts go back to the normal disconnection processes of late fees, letters, and terminations. I think you guys are probably right now okay, but I think we still need to watch it from month to month pretty closely.
Carter, do we need to go ahead and make a motion to continue with as is with our monitoring of the disconnect and late fees to continue them on a month-to-month basis?
Yes. Yeah, we've been extending each month and having it end the day of the meeting, so we would need another extension.
Okay. Do I have a motion to extend that process as is, monitoring it on late fees and disconnects on a month-to-month basis?
I'll make that motion.
Was that Lee?
Yes.
Okay, I have a motion from Director Hill. Do I have a second?
I'll second that. Director Mark.
Okay, thank you so much. Do I have all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. No one was opposed. Awesome, great. Okay, Deputy Gonzalez, do you want to give us a security report? Or I'm sorry, was there anything else from the committee?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, great. Thank you guys so much for staying on top of everything and taking actions as appropriate. Okay, Deputy Gonzalez.
Good evening. Hey, the August statistics, crime statistics were included in the packet under the September tab. It was pretty routine for the month of August, but there's something to note. There was a strong-arm robbery in the district on a couple of residents, and just so the board is aware, the 3 suspects all took off running, and they were captured by a Northtown deputy that was on duty and a canine, as well as another canine support. So that's a pretty good highlight for the district. It happened in the evening, and the deputy just happened to be patrolling right after the robbery occurred. So I just wanted to let the board know about that.
By strong-arm robbery, do you mean like, what does that mean, please?
An assault, and they assaulted the person and took his phone away from him and beat him up and took off running. So.
Oh, my.
No knife or gun, just force.
Not with a deadly weapon, no, just force.
Golly.
Yeah. So
I'm glad they caught him.
It was good that the Northtown deputy was on duty and his dog, and all 3 of them were caught. So.
Wow, that is good. That's awesome. Great job. Tell whoever it was, thank you so much. And
I
great job.
Will pass it on. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you guys
just
have
one
any
quick
questions? Sure.
Yeah, one quick question. Were the perpetrators residents, or were they coming in to do this?
That we don't know. We don't know.
Okay.
I know that he did his part in capturing it, and then patrol arrived on scene and took over the investigation.
I got you. Okay, thanks.
Wow.
I do just have one question. Is it too much detail, Deputy Gonzalez, to tell us which park that happened in?
No, it's not. It happened right just south of Stony Creek Park on Harris Ridge. Right in that first block.
Okay, thank you.
Goodness. Okay. Do you need anything from us?
No, everything's good. Do you have any questions or concerns that you need us addressing?
Keep up the good work.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Subcommittee, do y'all need anything on this for the Rio's work?
No, we don't. I did want to comment on the incident report that's in the packet. So a detective did contact me, and we sent video over of that incident, and that's being investigated.
What is it exactly from? Or was it on our property, against our property, or what? I didn't quite follow it.
It was three teenagers at the pavilion.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And we're aware of that as well. I've been in contact with the detective downtown. So if anything develops from that, then he'll make me aware of it as well.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. Okay. Robert, your turn, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Jesse Gonzalez, you can go. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Robert, but I wanted to let him know he can go or you can stay. It's your choice.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good evening.
You're welcome. You too. Thank you. Stay safe.
See you, Debbie.
Sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
No problem. For the month, you had 3,013 occupied single-family residents. Connections, you had total accounts, 3,121. All your lab results were satisfactory. Your water loss is at 0.85%. There were three write-offs, as I was mentioning earlier, totaling $1,534.99. The one, see it on our page 10 of our report, was pretty large. It was $899. They had three really large months of water. It was $47,000, $49,000, and $18,000. And they did not apply for any hardship. They did not apply for leak adjustment or anything. They pretty much just left. Their last payment was $604, and so that was on in March, and that was the last time they had paid. So, and then there were two other smaller ones that made that total. So,
Robert, what's the deal with the deposit applied saying non-applicable?
They probably didn't have a deposit on some of those. I'm not sure. That may be a mistake by the. Hang on just a second. I'll look at here real quick. See what it is. I think that maybe the admin just didn't really include that for some reason. Bear with me here. I got to find that email real quick.
Well, I'd like to say the water loss percentage is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it like that since I've been on the board, 0.85. That's incredible.
Well, again, that's just 1 month snapshot, so you can't really go by 1 month. Next month could be 10%.
Well, yeah, no, but hold on. The last couple of months have been, you know, four and under, so that's what I'm saying.
Right. Robin, there was a deposit applied, a $150 deposit. The admin just did not fill that column out, evidently, on the report. So.
Okay. And the same for the renters.
Do you have what the deposit was for each one of them?
There'll be 150. Let me check this third one on here. They're all going to be 150. Base deposit. I'll take that back there. No. They may have had others apply. Let's see.
Should we take this up next month instead of approving it tonight?
Well, you're not approving the write-off bill. You can't, and Alan can explain this better than I can, you're approving it to send these to collections.
So I can see where Greg Hansen and Thomas Swift had $150 deposits. I'm not coming up with this third.
The Kaya Onor also had $150 deposit.
Okay, because I can't see that on my listing, but they all had $150 deposits that look like that were applied. This is the net of the write-off.
Okay, so this is after the write-off or after the deposit was applied?
That's correct. The admin just did not tell.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the write-off amount? That was Director Capers?
Yes.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second, Robin.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Reluctantly, aye.
I know, right?
Yep.
Was that everybody?
Yes.
Against everybody's better liking. Okay, and there was nobody opposed, correct? Okay, thank you all very much. Robert, do you have anything else, sir?
I do. There's Alan's going to bring this up in his report. There's a charge for over $9,000 for from Antia, their laboratory testing group. They test for the EPA and the TCEQ as part of the EPA Safe Drinking Water Act. They test every quarter in the district, and then they surprised us with a test. This is a one-time test that will never do it again, where they come in and they do a kind of a surprise test. They do tests for all toxins. And so they just come out there and they take, I think it's 16 different samples. And so those, they hit us with a bill of over $9,000 for doing that.
Okay, so that's one of the charges. That it's one of the charges that's on y'all's bill that's in there. So you just want to be aware of it.
It's a supplemental. It's a supplemental payment that we didn't have when Felix and I met. Then the district's paying it directly. It's not on the Crossroads bill. But I asked.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If I asked Robert if before he jumped off the call if he would explain it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay, thank you, Robert. I appreciate the explanation then. Okay. Does anybody have any questions about that?
I do have one more thing. I'm almost right here. And Robin, this is kind of new. We put this on the North County website. We will be reopening the payment window at our Forest Creek office on Monday.
Email me, Robert.
I do have just one comment about that one write-off that you have that says owner next to it. When you pull up on TCAD, that same individual owns four homes in Northtown, and the mailing address is a house out of Northtown. Are all of them the same? So we should definitely try to get the money back for that one.
Well, if we can legally, which name on there was it?
Greg.
Okay. Carter, can you advise as to whether we can hit his other accounts up for any deposit?
Yeah, I can't advise on the spot, but I can talk with you after the call, and we can figure it out together and get it done if it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great because that's one of the few absconders that we might have leverage on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of accounts. He only has that account and one other one, though, account with us, so that he may own some other properties, but he doesn't have the account in his name. Those.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got them leased out because his one major property is almost $1 million.
Nice.
That'd be nice, Carter, if you could give us some advice on how to handle that. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll get in touch with Robert and we can see what we can get done. So, Robert,
great. Thank you very much.
Call from me tomorrow.
Yep. Carter, one of the questions, if you want to start researching it. Earlier, and you and I talked, can we terminate the one or two that he does have left? I think he's only got one left. But if we can terminate that one, threaten to terminate it, the water service, if he doesn't pay the what's owed on this other account. So I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, I need to look at the rate order and make sure.
Yeah, because I'd hate to get left with another one then.
Yeah,
okay.
All right, I've got my marching orders, and I'll get back with you on both those questions with answers, Robert.
Appreciate it. Thank
you,
sir.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, you're welcome to stay if you would like. Okay. Direct Richard Fidel, item number 10, landscape maintenance report.
Hello, everyone. Let me give you a few highlights. Our staff has remained healthy and on schedule. And the parks and green belts and areas we maintain are looking nice. The cooler temperatures and the rain we've had over the last couple of weeks have really caused the fire ant activity to pop. Happens every fall. And as a result, we've triggered the Texas two-step method. So we're applying bait right now. We have to apply it between rainfall events because it has to settle on the ground for 24 hours without getting wet. But we're also following up with some added spot treatment, and I think we've got them pretty well under control. Mona, if you hear of any hot spots or things, let us know. And then we completed that phase one ragweed removal, clearing and cutting over at the new office sites, and we will be performing real soon the last poison ivy treatment. It's starting to grow again, and also do a application on the dog park stickers. And I think that's really all I have, unless you guys have any questions. I would encourage you to get out in the parks. They look really, really nice with this kind of weather pattern.
Great. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for Richard? Okay. Mona, looks like you're up. Thank you, Richard. Have a good evening.
Don't have too much to report. My report is in the packet for Tab A, Tab B, and Tab 3, still not taking reservations for the pavilion. The solid waste report is in the packet. Did the subcommittee have any comments on that once they received it? I do not have any purchase requests for this month. Just an FYI, the drinking fountain that we ordered back in July to kind of address one of the COVID issues, is still on order and is hopefully going to be here in October. The new facilities construction subcommittee, the contractors, we all had a chat earlier today and just kind of caught up with each other about making sure we have all of our bases covered. There's still a few items that we're looking for some detail on. Scott, I invite you to chime in if you have anything.
Yeah, I think next month we will be hopefully bringing a revised budget to the board for consideration to authorize us to proceed with the bidding of the project, which would slate us for a start of construction in first quarter of 2021, calendar year fiscal quarter. From a site development permit update, Alan's office, appreciate your help in paying all the fees and everything else remotely as we've been going through this. We're pending the receipt of two or three legal documents from property owners who have agreed to sign them. They're all having to work through some things themselves to execute them, but we don't believe they're going to impact our ability to start construction on that timeline. I'd be happy to address any questions as well.
Does anybody have any questions? Okay.
Scott, this is Lee. Our neighbor's construction project, does it look like we're going to break ground before they do?
Very likely.
Okay, and so we will need to accommodate that drainage issue that we were talking about off of their property onto ours during construction till they get their place.
That's correct.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yes, sir. And that property owner has granted us a temporary construction easement and drainage easement on that property. There's a chance that everything will start at the same day and everything else. They're ready to go almost. They just have not pulled the trigger. They need to execute the documents we're waiting on as well for us to approve the plan. So everything's everybody's playing nice together to get started out there.
Great to hear.
Yeah, glad to hear that for sure. Okay, is there anything we need to take action on your stuff, Mona, at this time?
Nope, that's it.
Good to hear that. Okay. All right, and then under the Parks and Recreation Facilities then, I don't think there was anything either that needs to take action on. And Scott, is there anything you want to update us on other than what you just said?
Nothing on that agenda item.
Okay. Then, Scott, I think it's your turn.
Well, since I didn't say it last month, good evening. I do remember things like this. Underneath the development updates, of note, the village, item number 3, Village at Northtown Section 2 condominiums, they have updated their plans to us, and they have also submitted a reimbursement request for us to consider. We'll be working with Carter and the Infrastructure Subcommittee on that to bring back a recommendation to the board in the coming weeks and months on that one. As I noted before on the item 5 there, which is the North Willis Branch Village Northtown Multifamily, that's a development that Director Hill alluded to that's adjacent to our office park. They're also getting close to finalizing their legal documents with us and paying their parkland fees and some other things there. Other than that, the only kind of update for us would be under item C, which is the Desaul Road Force Main Replacement Project. We have a pre-bid meeting next week. It will be partially in person. I'm sorry, the pre-bid meeting is tomorrow. It will be partially in person and hosted via teleconference due to COVID-19 concerns, and it is not mandatory, but we hopefully will get some feedback from contractors on anything they see, and also hope to have that project bidding out, as I said, on October 14th, prior to y'all's next board meeting in October. I'm happy to address any questions. That's a very quick, brief report.
Does anybody have any questions?
With that, when do you think they would be able to get underway on the project?
I think realistically, Director Hill, we'll hopefully be able to award the contract at the November board meeting. I think we're going to start talking about it. And by the time they mobilize and get some of their final permits from the city, they're going to have to go get their traffic permits and some other things. It'll probably be a calendar year first quarter start, too, in 2021.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Scott, can you remind me of the bid opening? That will be as normal?
As of this time, at the last board meeting, y'all authorized us to allow electronic bidding, hybrid bidding of teleconference and or in person or strictly in person at our discretion. At this point in time, I've not made a recommendation or decision on how we will open the bids there. In other districts that we're working in, we're actually doing a hybrid of in-person receipt of the bids and opening them with people in the room if space allows, and also hosting it via teleconference.
Okay, thank you.
Are you needing any guidance from us on that, Scott?
No, I believe that the document last month that you all approved was appropriate.
Okay, good. Okay, do you have anything else?
No, ma'am.
Okay, great, thank you. Okay, Alan, looks like you're up for the bookkeeper
all right,
report.
Great. Hopefully I'll make this as quick. We had our supplemental report went out earlier today. I don't really have anything to report financially, so we just need your action on the transfers and disbursements. If you look at the first page there, you see we have a few transfers to make. The first two are moving funds out of your operating account Logic over to your manager's account. The 473,514.67 is covering the disbursements today, and the $40,000 is to replenish the balance in that account for the activity that we ran through do that in between meetings. I also have a $3,000 transfer of funds out of your operating account at TexPool to your deposit refund account to cover those for the month. We have some service collections in your BBVA Compass Lockbox account that we need to move over to TexPool, an amount of $300,000. And then we have a small amount of tax collections that we need to split. We got $23,506.53 of operating collections and then $5,000 of debt service that we need to move between the appropriate accounts there. If you look at the third page, you'll see the updated list of disbursements. All the items without the asterisk next to them, I've gone over that with Felix last Thursday. In the middle there, you can see we added a internet bill for Time Warner after the report had gone out last week. And at the bottom, you'll see the additional items we had. So we had a couple additional meetings for Director Capers and Campbell. Also have that in TIA, that sampling bill that Robert discussed in his report that we've added. We have your legal fees for the month of August. I have some chemicals, Brentag. We have some back T testing with the city of Round Rock. Have Elite Systems security camera billings. We have your 401k administrative fees, some irrigation repairs, and then we have your paying agent fees for your pre-outstanding bond issues that we've added. So, on the fourth page there, you'll see the activity for the month for deposit refunds. And so those have made your packet. Nothing's changed there. So that's really all I have. Be glad to answer any questions on any of that if you have any.
Does anybody have any questions? If not, do I have a motion for transfers and to pay bills?
I'll make a motion to make the transfers or approve the transfers and pay the bills.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion from Director Campbell and a second from Director Hill. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
All those, okay, everyone approved. Okay, any other questions for the bookkeeper? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay, Carter. Well, let me ask if there are any developers or landowners on the phone. Did not think so. Okay, Carter, you want to go ahead and take item number 16 regarding the wastewater and wastewater case?
Sure. Yeah, no problem.
thank you.
So I'm not sure when the last time we spoke about this item was. I think it's been many months. I think it was December or January when the city of Austin dismissed the rate case that we had with the PUC. And if you all recall, the next item of concern in that vein regarding wholesale rates to the city of Austin was the fact that in a few years here, the contract for those wholesale rates will be up for will be expiring and will basically be up for renewal and renegotiation. Upon a recommendation by Randy Wilburn and John Carlton, who handled the rate case with the city of Austin on behalf of this MUD and then three other MUDs that are all kind of in the same group, including Wells Branch and District 10 and North Austin MUD 1. Randy and John Carlton were saying, well, we think it would make the most sense since the interests are aligned, these four districts, even out of the rate case, to basically negotiate on behalf of those four MUDs, all four of their wholesale water and wastewater contracts, which are all up for renewal kind of in the same span of a few years here. Those contracts typically last for decades, and since they're all kind of coming to an end within the same few years, it was their opinion that it makes the most sense to kind of use strength in numbers of these four districts and try to negotiate favorable terms out on these districts one by one that could kind of be transferred over, hopefully, to the next one up for negotiation, the next one up for negotiation. So almost kind of like a form contract, if you will, where we kind of get things standardized with the city of Austin with respect to all four of these MUDs. So they're coming at us with two engagement letters now to hire Randy's firm and John Carlton's firm to take up that that job of negotiating with the city of Austin. Costs will be split four ways among the districts. And me and Brenda hopped on a call with them the other day, and including the representatives of the other MUDs, and talked about all this. And we got to pick their brains about a few questions. And I think I'm of the opinion that it does make sense to go forward and use strength in numbers and kind of leverage our position of having three other MUDs driving in the same direction to go ahead and have Randy negotiate this contract on behalf of the MUD. So that would be my recommendation, would be to approve these engagement letters, the scope being that negotiation. The other side of this that we talked about was Randy has brought up a point that kind of in the same vein as this contract negotiation, there is also some legislation on the table from Texas Water Development Board. What is it called? I think that's it. It's a
it's
big
something else now. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
They rename it.
Yeah.
TWCA. Anyway, they have drafted some legislation which they're planning on trying to push through this coming session in 2021. It's basically, I haven't gotten to the nitty gritty. That's Randy's thing, but the long and short of it is that there are a couple bills that are in the pipeline that would be detrimental to wholesale purchasers and beneficial to folks like the city who are selling the water wholesale. So he's trying to organize among all his clients and including our group here, kind of a coalition to more or less make sure those bills are not as detrimental as they could be, or even make sure that they just don't pass in any form whatsoever. I think that the primary ones that he's concerned about, that he's bringing to the MUD's attention, is one that would change the authority of the PUC to take up wholesale rate cases and move it back to the TCEQ. It moved from the TCEQ to the PUC in 2013, and from Randy's perspective, it would be a disaster, apparently, going back to the TCEQ. So that's one of those bills. And then another one of them would mess with a section of the water code. That's section 13.44, which is apparently, according to Randy, the statute that the districts use to file a petition with the PUC to appeal de novo the rates imposed by the city, and it requires the city to basically, they have the burden of proof, and in other words, they have the responsibility, if that appeal is brought to the PUC, to show that their rates are reasonable instead of the district or the purchaser of the wholesale water having to come up and first show that the rates are unreasonable. But city would have to show they are reasonable first, is what I'm trying to say. Burden proof's on them. Anyway, they're trying to mess with that statute, potentially repeal it or change it and make it less favorable to the districts. This is all to say that Randy thinks it might be prudent for the districts to get lobbyists, retain lobbyists if they hadn't already been retained. I know it's something the board hasn't done in the past, and it's not something that I'm necessarily saying that the board needs to do, but I did want to bring it to the board's attention in case it wanted to consider hiring a lobbyist to basically lobby on behalf of the district with respect to these bills and any other bills that affect MUDs in this next session. Keep up with those, report back to the board on them. If the board is interested in hiring a lobbyist, to go out and I could get a few names and talk to folks and see what seems reasonable. But again, not necessarily saying the board, you know, needs to get a lobbyist here, just saying it might be something that wants to look into, although it has not in the past.
So, Carter, sorry, Director Mollett, so if there was ever an answer in a question, I think this might be it, right? what you're describing is exactly what we've kind of come to expect as a cadence of fallout. It was one of the rationales that was sort of presented as a potential as to why the rate case sort of evaporated and went away, right? Because either A, we'd have a different makeup of the board, or you'd have a less formal conglomeration of the districts, or in this case, you might even move the rate decision making back to a different group, the TCEQ. So, you know, all of these steps are all sort of lined up in the same direction, and it sounds as though, you know, from the standpoint of advice, and you know, to us as a board, is this what something where we want to have a more substantial conversation? I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to other members there at the firm, and is there a, sort of some guidance? Don't have to be right now, but that we could,
yeah,
we could get on a topic like this, because it's starting to look a lot like there is a strong value in the potential of continuing the group and the representation as such, but it's also getting a little bit bigger and a little more unwieldy without some more specific details to go along with it. So we get a
right.
little idea
yeah.
of what we're getting into long term.
I agree. So with respect to hiring a lobbyist or not, I think that's certainly something that needs to be discussed more in depth. And I've asked today a member of our firm who used to be a lobbyist for MUDS to speak with the folks he used to work with to kind of determine what's going on with these bills and whether he thinks, depending on his conversations with them, whether it's reasonable for these individual MUDs to hire lobbyists or not. So I'm kind of waiting to hear back from this guy and what he thinks. But with respect to the negotiations with the city of Austin, I think that's probably something that we could certainly talk about more, and we don't have to make any decision at this board meeting. But I think it makes a lot of sense. I've talked to another attorney here, John Bartram, who's covered one of y'all's meetings at some point in the past, and he's an attorney over there for Wells Branch, and he's of the opinion that it makes a lot of sense to go forward, at least with the engagement letters with Randy and John Carlton here, the negotiation. One thing I will say is it would make a lot of sense to bring in Randy. One of these meetings to kind of catch us up, because I can only deliver so much of the information from him, because he's really in the weeds and I'm not. But
one of the things that Randy and them are going to do by continuing with the engagement letter for right now is they are going to work on a white paper to get back to the TWCA related to this immediate threat of the legislation that they're drafting right now. General manager for Wells Branch has been intimately involved with some of the leadership from TWCA on some of their committees and stuff. And they were asking for some feedback on some of this proposed legislation that was being drafted. And so Randy, John, and what is her name, Mona, from Wells Branch?
Shirley.
And Shirley yeah. are working together to... Since all four of the boards now sound like they are going to move forward with the engagement letters to move forward, because the other three were all saying they were going to approve it. We were the only board that weren't I wasn't positive that our board, we just didn't answer yes or no. Basically, we just said we had to talk about it at our meeting tonight. And so basically part of what they are going to work on then is drafting this white paper to get back to TWCA so that they could hopefully have a stronger stance to take back and maybe do something about some of the legislation that Carter did mention that was being proposed, and maybe go back to some of the authors that were talking about proposing some of this legislation to curtail it up front. So that is
right.
one of the things that they were going to work on also, is maybe cutting it off at the pass and maybe, you know, doing something about it before it even gets out of control right up front. Because
right.
if they can do that, then maybe like Carter said, the need for some of those, the need for that lobbyist, you know, once he talks to his friend and gets some feedback, maybe if some of that can happen up front, maybe there wouldn't be a need for us to even have one, because it can get cut off before it gets too far out of hand, and then we wouldn't have a big problem this session. So that just kind of gives you a little bit more insight into what was discussed also. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that, Brenda, about kind of the pre-legislative session part of fighting that bill, being in
that was the only thing I could have added.
I didn't make that clear.
I couldn't have done the other parts you mentioned. I couldn't have articulated it.
Well, I'm sure you could. I'm doing my best over here to just convey what Randy has conveyed to us, but I do think we need to get in here at some point to actually talk about the details. I'll mention that to him, have him come in at the next meeting, if that sounds good to y'all. But do y'all want to approve that engagement letters today, or are y'all more wanting to wait until y'all hear from him? And the engagement letter would not have anything to do with lobbyists. It would just be this contract negotiation and kind of the pre-legislative session coordination of that same group regarding the white paper.
Carter, if we're not up against any deadline, it would be great to have that meeting first, I think, before we try to move forward with entering into the agreement. I'm not suggesting we're not going to. Ultimately, I think it's probably going to make the most sense. But if there's no real urgency this go-around, could we review, get some of that feedback, and then be able to make that choice at a later date?
Sure. Yeah, I think that'll work fine. I will get Randy on here for the October 27th meeting so he can fill you all in all the details.
I do have a comment on this as well. We are the last mud in the process. As such, when it comes time for us to sign our contract, the other ones will already be in a contract. So one thing we need to be cognizant of, we might be helping them pay for their negotiation when they won't be there to pay for ours.
That's one of the things that was discussed is the city, again, the city's word is what the city's word is worth, right? That was the question that Carter asked Randy is, so what's the point of this and how is this supposed to work? What the city is telling not only Water District number 1 or 10 or whatever they're called, and Randy, is that supposedly they're doing this with the intent that their intention is that once they get one of these done, they want to do this and use this with all water districts. They want to use this as a template for all consent agreements now going forward.
Okay.
Now, so, again, I guess one could say, though, you can trust the city as far as you can throw the city, though, too. So, because
I throw them for a loop quite regularly.
Yeah. I mean, because the city doesn't always keep their word, even when it's in written form, right? So,
right.
I mean, the challenge is, though, is that, I mean, I guess you got to get them in, you got to get it in writing in some form or fashion, though, so that we can do something, though. And the
sometimes
thing is
you have
that,
to just flat embarrass them into doing it.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is, though, is the plan is, and like Randy told us, is he does intend on getting us in front of them, meaning us as the board presidents from each one of the districts with our legal representatives in front of the city. So once we start this process with them, the intention is that we would go there with our legal counsel, because initially, apparently when this all started with, Carter, is it Water District 1? Is that what they're called? I can never remember if it's a 1 or is it 10?
The 10 is the one that they've already begun the contract negotiations with.
Okay. So when they started this with Water District number 10, they initially didn't even want them to bring their lawyer. They somehow just thought that Water District 10 was just going to start talking to them with no legal representation whatsoever involved. I mean, and then they just kept telling them, no, just wait, we'll work with you. And so at one point, or actually right now, their contract is totally expired. They don't even have a contract right now with the City of Austin. They're working
It goes on month to month at that point.
Yeah. So they don't even have anything whatsoever because the city kept telling them, no, we'll get back to you. We'll work it out. Don't worry. So, and then I think it's, I don't remember if it's Wells Branch or who it is, whose contract is about to expire like in April. And they keep telling her, no, it'll be, we'll get to you soon. We'll get with you. It's just amazing that they keep telling people things like they're telling them. But like Randy said, as soon as we can get this going, the plan is that, he plans on going in there with us and saying, no, here's what we're going to do, and making sure that we're in there with our lawyers and in front of them and saying, here's how this is going to work and here's what our intentions are. Because he doesn't want us to get caught in that same situation.
Also on hiring lobbyists, rather than us hiring one and everybody else hiring them, is it possible that an organization like CASE could hire, we get together with a larger number of them of districts to represent us, have a
so
lobbyist
CASE,
to represent a larger.
I'm not on the CASE board anymore, but I know that CASE does not do that. Yeah, I know that CASE does not do that. That's one thing that they do not do. And Carter, didn't you or somebody say to us that it was actually better to have multiple lobbyists? Who was that explained that to us?
Oh, it is better to have multiple lobbyists. But I tell you, we've got MUDS in Houston. They have their organization.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the legislature, we need to be talking to, at a CASE level with whoever the Houston's version of CASE, and making damn sure that our lobbyists know that we're all working on needing the same thing from them.
Yeah.
Right. So you're thinking of AWBD, I think. They're kind of the Houston version of CASE. But, I was telling Brenda, I'm not sure. I don't know at this point, not knowing more from the lobbyists I've asked at our firm, whether, it's really necessary to go forward with a lobbyist here for Northtown. Since we're not trying to push any particular bill, our own bill or something like that, it would kind of be hard for us to discern the impact that hiring a lobbyist of our own would have, because other people will be hiring lobbyists as well to push in any given direction. So it's not like there'd be a very definite, we hired a lobbyist and we got this precise thing out of it, because it's just... very hard to
maybe
tell.
We can have that
anyway.
On the agenda for next month to discuss further.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
November, we'll have a better idea of what legislation is going to be filed. It's really premature at this point in time.
Okay,
right.
And then also
just wanted
Carter,
to bring
I have y'all's a better
attention
idea.
Just in case.
Okay.
All right. Well.
Okay.
Thanks.
Is there anything that, Carter, that you
that.
Needed to discuss with us under your report?
On the attorney's report, it was just that directive from Director Hill to go look into using other papers potentially for publishing notices for tax hearings, elections, things like that. And I determined that we can't use the Round Rock Leader because it's only generally distributed in Williamson County. We could use the Statesman. It's a lot more expensive. Or we could use the Chronicle, which is generally distributed within Travis County in the district. And that would be, I think, more expensive than the Flag, but not near as expensive as the Statesman. So I'm looking here. I can't really tell exactly the price difference right now because Chronicle – their price is $4.50 per line. And let's see, the Flags was $13.75 per column inch. So I don't really know how to pair those. But we could use the Chronicle. It would check the legal boxes. And I know it's much more broadly distributed than the Flag, as Lee was mentioning in the last call. So... and the Statesman is always an option too, but for instance, their tax notice with them would be like $3,500, whereas with the Flag this last year
we paid $845, so pretty steep. Lee, okay. what do you think about what do you think about potentially
the flag is a non-entity. It is owned by the Statesman. When you're talking about the flag, you're a subsidiary of the Statesman. The Chronicle at the HEB over by where Brenda lives had a stack of Chronicles as high as my chest this last week on Thursday.
So if we're going to
pay for something that's available to our residents to actually see what we're going to do, we might as well do it in a publication that actually publishes.
Yeah, that at least it would be available. Yeah, okay. I think that makes more sense,
right,
to Lee's point.
Well, we've got under the attorney's report, including directives. One of my directives was to check this out and look at alternative sources here. So does the board want to take an action on whether it would like to proceed with, in the future, using the Chronicle instead of the flag, or do we want to put that off or continue using the flag?
I would make the motion to use the Chronicle in the future.
Okay, Carter. I have a motion to have a second. I'm sorry.
Yes, Chris.
Director Capers, were you able to check the community impact? That was one that
community
I...
Community impact.
Everybody...
If you threw that out there...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you're cutting off a little bit. If you threw that out there, I'm sorry I missed it. I might have that in Excel spreadsheet here, though. Is the community impact a local?
They don't have
a Pflugerville paper or a Austin paper.
They have a Pflugerville Round Rock edition that's mailed to every household. The thing is, they don't have a classified section. They sell ads. They don't have the classifieds that other papers traditionally have.
Well, they also.
So it sounds like they don't have a.
They have the internet. Every day with all the information on it, and it always talks about government.
Do they have a legal section? Is I guess what
yes,
it's really.
Yes,
okay. All right. Well, you know, I apologize if you had mentioned this at the last meeting. I didn't look into this one specifically. I was concentrating on the ones we've got an Excel spreadsheet here with all the information, the ones we've used, and I can go back and check on that and come back and we can look into that if you'd like.
Their headquarters is actually in Pflugerville, so that's a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
And their politics is not that of the Chronicles.
Right. I would suggest maybe if you could take a look at that, we could table that until next month.
Okay.
And maybe you can report back and then we can make a decision on those two.
Okay.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
I think they're pretty costly.
We can do that.
Things I know about when I've used them before for my other business that I was at, but we could still look at it and find out. That way we've done our due diligence.
Sure thing. We'll get that in the next agenda, look into that, the Chronicle, compare prices, make sure they check out the legal boxes, and we'll vote on something.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you very much. Okay, do you have anything
you.
Else, Carter?
I do not.
Okay. So, Brent, before I close the meeting out, I just wanted to make sure, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask the board now that you sat through a whole meeting with us?
I do not, but if it's any consolation, I kind of like the Chronicle.
Yeah, good. Well, there we go. Well, who knows what we'll do. We'll find out what the costs are, and we'll see where we end up at. Maybe you can join us next month and find out what the decision is.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so if there are no other items for the board to discuss, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I motion.
That was
Robert.
Director Hill, Director
Campbell.
Campbell. Sorry, do I have a second?
I'll second again.
Director Morrow.
Okay. So I have a motion and a second. All those in favor to adjourn?
Aye.
Great. Thank you guys very much. Y'all stay safe, and we will talk to you later.
Thanks, Brenda. Talk to everybody.
Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.